from inside the castle in Owings Mills, Maryland. It is the Banner Ravens podcast. Paul Mancano, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, do you like me going with the castle this time instead of Ravens practice facility? What do you prefer?
It's more colloquial. I like it.
It's like
you know what you're talking about.
Thank you. Camden Yards, some people call it Opassy. Some people don't like Opassy.
Who calls it Opassy?
Some people call it Opassy. When I first started in Baltimore, people were calling it Opassy, and then people outside of Baltimore or in Baltimore were like, people outside of Baltimore don't call it that. So
are these people you trust?
Not with my life, but in general, yes. On today's show, we're going to talk defense, Jonas. We are almost a week away from day one of the NFL draft. And so we've gone a lot offense in the last couple of weeks. We've talked about wide receivers. We've talked about quarterbacks, running backs, offensive linemen. Today, we're going to be talking about the edge rushers, the inside linebackers, the cornerbacks, the safeties, all the position groups on that side of the football, because, boy, we got really cram in some talk here before the draft. And by the way, if you're listening to this, give us a like, a thumbs up, write us a good review. I will read it out here on the podcast if you write us a good review. 5 stars as well, anywhere that you're listening to the Banner Ravens podcast. All right, Jonas. Today we are here for Ravens workouts. Do you expect to learn anything enlightening at today's workouts?
No, I want to know what free crab cakes for life means.
Really entails from Derek Henry.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, we both went to college, not to brag, but
flex.
You know, the all those promotions at basketball games where it's like you hit a shot, you get free pizza for college.
Didn't you say that you won one of those one time?
No.
Okay. Did you compete for it though?
No, because I was never selected.
Oh, okay. I thought you had in a previous podcast.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Derek Henry doesn't need the free crab cakes for life. I don't think he's going to take Jimmy's up on their offer. But does it mean like one crab cake every week for 3 years? Is that free crab cakes for life?
Yeah, I mean, I assume you can't just sit down on like a Monday and say, give me all of your crab cakes and like take some home.
No.
Yeah.
No. And also,
and just might put them in a giant freezer and save them for your life.
It's good promo because, I mean, Derek Henry would love to have him, would love to see him in Baltimore for 2 years, but it's possible he's here for only the one, and he lives in Texas. So I don't know if there's a lot of Jimmy's franchises out there in the greater
probably not
DFW area. So
do you think it's a contractual thing? Do you think he signs on the dotted line that says specifically how these crab cakes are going to be doled out?
It's a good question. I don't know enough about crab cake preparation.
Also, free crab cakes for life. Does that include the crab cake sandwich? Like if you, or is it just the crab cakes?
Not much of a seafood guy, Paul.
These are all the questions we're going to be asking Derrick Henry when he comes to the podium. These are the important questions. We're going to hear from a few players today.
Roquan, Tyler Linderbaum, not Lamar Jackson, unfortunately.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll get an idea. It's insane how early these things start. And then, I mean, it's draft hasn't even happened yet. We already have some voluntary workouts. All right, Jonas, shall we get into the defensive players?
Defense. Yep, let's do it.
In this draft. You know, I was putting together a little mock draft yesterday, a 32-pick mock draft, just first round. And the first 10 or 12 picks were offensive players in the draft that I was putting together. Now, maybe the Atlanta Falcons, we were saying this morning, will go defense, but it is going to be so incredibly offensive heavy in the first round of this draft that maybe some quality defensive players will slip all the way to 30, guys that maybe would be considered top 20, top 15 players in another year's draft.
Yeah. I still think the odds are that they're going to look for offense.
I agree.
Because of the depth of talent at offensive line, at wide receiver. But, you know, you see Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama cornerback, mocked to the Ravens at 30. You see, you know, Darius Love Robinson that. Mocked to the Ravens, you know, Missouri defensive line / edge rusher. A lot of guys who might be in the mix for the Ravens on the defensive side. And I think Zach Orr would probably love that. That would be a very nice you're hired gift. But probably offensive line.
Yeah,
I think that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, offensive line is still our focus. And I think it's probably still Eric DaCosta's focus. He said that's where they've spent a lot of their time. But he also qualified that by saying it's because of the quality of players at that position in this draft. It is very strong in offensive line. It's very strong in wide receiver. the Ravens had the best defense in football, most likely last year, if you look at, you know, most statistical measurements. However, they did lose a lot of talent. I mean, you know, they lost Patrick Queen to the Steelers. They lost Ronald Darby. They lost a lot of their depth on the defensive side of the football. So they're going to have to draft defensive players in this draft. It's not going to be all offense. And like you said, it may not be first round, but we're going to dive deep into maybe some depth picks that the Ravens could make, especially on day two and day three. Let's start with the edge rushers, Jonas. This is a draft class in terms of the edge rushers that Eric DaCosta said, quote, "It's an average draft for edge pass rushers. It depends on what you're looking for. Certainly some guys at the top that probably won't be there. We'll touch on who those guys are when we pick. So the challenge is getting in the range of 25th to 45th players that we have a chance to get at either 30 or 62. What do you think of this overall draft class when it comes to edge rushers?
It's fine.
average.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at day three edge prospects because those guys
committed to the grind.
No. Those guys tend to not do a whole lot. I mean, the Ravens, as Eric DaCosta mentioned last week, have done a good job finding guys on day three who turn into really good players. Matthew Judon, Za'Darius Smith, you know, that they've done a good job at finding diamonds in the rough. But it's a tough business. I mean, for, you know, sometimes you find a Matthew Judon, sometimes you find a Dalen Hayes. You know, these guys are available in the fourth, fifth round for a reason: injuries, athleticism, lack of production, what have you. So it will be interesting to see what the Ravens' plan is if they don't come out of day one or day two with an edge rusher, because at that point, you're kind of playing with fire. You're basically saying, we're confident to get a Tavius Robinson type, someone who's probably never going to be a star in this league. But, you know, the Ravens have, they've invested well enough at that position where I think you can probably get away with that for another year or so. You can rely on Adafi Owe to maybe take the next step. You can maybe hope that David Ojabo stays healthy, gets bendy, gets healthy, does everything he needs to do. And then, you know, you just rely on the infrastructure and the talent elsewhere to do what they need to. But if they don't find someone that they like on day two or day three, or on round two or round three, then it's probably fair to assume that they won't be making much of an impact unless you're talking special teams year one.
That's my offseason goal, is to get bendy as well. Get much more flexible this offseason. Maybe be able to touch my toes. That'd be a nice offseason goal.
I haven't done that since I was like 13.
Maybe you and I can get bendy this offseason.
I'm not going to stretch with you, Paul.
Darn it. All right. Well, they have a lot of production to replace at that position. Yep. I mean, maybe if you cobble together the group that they have and you cross your fingers and, like you said, hope for some improvements internally, you could convince yourself. But I'm of the opinion that they need to add at edge rusher, and they ideally need to add through the draft, because I think this is just as much a long-term need as it is a short-term need, because David Ojabo is in one more injury away, essentially, from the Ravens, unfortunately, probably having to give up on him, mm-hmm. just given how little he has played in his first 2 years in the league. Adafi Owe, still immense talent, still first round talent, and he has shown flashes of that, but has never had more than five sacks in a season. Jadeveon Clowney played 57% of defensive snaps last year. I know they brought back Kyle Van Noy, but he's 33 and had a career year last year that you don't know is going to be repeatable. Other than that, you are really in need of some ways to get to the quarterback that is not Justin Madubuike. You need some pressure around the edge. And this is a defensive scheme that, under Mike McDonald and probably under Zach Orr, doesn't rely on superstar talent on the edge because of how many different ways they were able to scheme up pressure last year. However, if you're looking at the future of this team, Odafe Owe, they have a fifth-year option decision to make on him. So he's obviously going to be here for the 2024 season. I think they're going to pick up his option. If they don't, he's gone after the 2024 season. He's at least testing free agency. Even if they do pick up his option, that's only 2 years that you have him in-house. And Kyle Van Noy, signed him to a two-year deal. But like I mentioned, with the age, there's a lot of question marks at edge rusher going forward. Are there certain guys in this draft? We're assuming that Florida State's Jared Verst, Alabama's Dallas Turner, two guys that I think are probably going to be off the board by the time the Ravens pick. Are there any guys in the next tier that you think might be worth taking at number 30?
Well, I don't think he's going to make it to 30, but I would be, it would be interesting to see where on the Ravens big board Chop Robinson would fall.
Yeah. We've talked about him a lot on this podcast.
Yeah. Maryland guy, started his career at Maryland, entered the transfer portal a couple of years ago. I think the initial reporting was that he was looking to go and get a bag at USC. That did not happen. He ended up at Penn State. Never really fully developed into the sack artist that, you know, you thought he would be. Only 9.5 sacks these past 2 years at Penn State. Mm-hmm. But graded out really well, you know, on PFF. 20.9% pass rush win rate, 13th highest in college football last year. And then athletically, just, you know, the kind of quintessential Penn State prospect, just totally freakish. 97th percentile 40, 97th percentile 10-yard split, 95th percentile broad jump. So extremely explosive. That shows up on tape. His first step is incredible, but he just wasn't able to translate that into reliable sack production like a lot of guys in this class. So
see Adafi Owe. It feels like a very similar conversation. Well,
it isn't because I think Adafi's problem was he didn't have that good first step. Like, he had an incredible 40, but he was always like the last person off the snap. Chop is the first one reacting to the ball. He just couldn't, for whatever reason, get to the quarterback. And, you know, some people say he has a good pass rush plan. Some people say he has a nice arsenal of moves. But if he did, if they're right, it didn't really convey to a lot of sacks. But, you know, he has two of the most important things that a pass rusher, you know, needs to have to be a alpha at the position, which is a good first step and good bend. You know, you want to, if you can, the closer you are to Von Miller, the easier it is, the better chances you're going to have of being just a downright stud. And he's got a couple of those traits. If all he needs is, you know, a year with a really good teacher, hey man, Baltimore's got Chuck Smith. Look what he did with, you know, JD, with Matt Abike, with Adafi. So many guys last year had probably their best year ever. And a lot of that was because of Chuck Smith. So, you know, you read up on Chop Robinson and you see NFL guys talking anonymously about how if he'd come back for another year, got even better, became a 10 sack, 12 sack guy at Penn State, maybe he'd be a top 10 pick. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that this guy turns into the best pass rusher in this class. Because of that, I don't think he's going to make it to 30. But if he somehow falls in the way in unexpected falls happen, you know, we didn't expect Kyle Hamilton to be on the board at what, pick 14 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You wonder, you know, if it's a Sophie's choice situation where it's like him on the board, Jordan Morgan on the board, Tyler Guyton on the board. Do they say we can find another tackle in round two, in round three? There are only so many Chop Robinsons in this universe. We're going to take him, bid on him, but that whatever deficiencies he has as a run defender are overweighed by the fact that this guy could be really, really special as an edge rusher.
One guy that I really like that I think could be really special as an edge rusher in this draft, that's UCLA's Laiatu Latu, who I also don't think is going to make it to 30th overall, but he's the kind of player who could slide because of his questionable medical history. He initially had to medically retire and then transfer to UCLA, put up incredible numbers the last couple of years. Another guy that I think, like I said, is probably going to go maybe 20th at the latest, but would you trade up for him? The question is, would the Ravens make any kind of trade-ups? You know, would there be anybody that they would think would be worthy of doing that? Because they really only trade up. Lamar Jackson is really the only one we could think of, the last big trade-up that they made in the first round, because it just makes sense to trade back. Long-term, it is a stable franchise, and that's how you amass draft capital. That is how you stay stable and stay drafting good players for a long time. However, there are some guys that I think might be worth it. And Laiatu Latu, if he passes your medicals, but other teams are iffy on him and he's slipping, I don't know. Ravens have a lot of picks to play with in this draft. Might as well use some to go up and get a guy that you think could be a stalwart at an important position.
Yeah, I think I'd feel more comfortable about it if he didn't have the medical situation.
Yeah.
If that neck injury weren't just a glaring red flag. And, you know, it's possible that this is overblown and like 25 of 32 teams said that he's draftable because our doctors checked him out and said it's fine. But yeah, I mean, I think losing like a third round pick to move up eight spots or whatever and get a guy who, you know, maybe has a freak play in preseason and never plays it down for you because he's fearful for his long-term health, that would just be a total disaster. True. And not something that the Ravens can afford to do at this point.
And not their MO. But yeah. But Latu reminds me a little bit of Jalen Phillips from a couple of years ago, who the Dolphins drafted, who had to medically retire, I believe, from UCLA and then transferred to Miami. And he has had a good career so far, but had a season-ending injury last year. So another guy that that compares favorably there. All right. So anybody other than day one targets, any day two, day three targets that stick out to you at edge rusher?
Well, I just think that if they don't get someone that they really, really like in day one or day two, I think there are only so many like high ceiling guys that you can find on day three. The guy that I stumbled upon when I was doing some research for the draft and who I included in my mock draft that went up on Monday was
on the BaltimoreBanner.com, where you can subscribe $1 for 6 months.
Houston Christian.
Okay.
Do you know that school? It used to be Houston Baptist.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. FCS school. They had a edge rusher named Jalix Hunt. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Elite name.
J-A-L-Y-X. Started his career as a safety at Cornell, transferred, went to Houston Christian, got beefed up, put on like 40 or 50 pounds.
Also an offseason goal of mine.
And was, I think, the conference's defensive player of the year. Really athletic. You know, obviously looks a little bit out of place at times because of that safety-ish body that he has. But if you're talking about a guy that you want to get in the building because you believe in his long-term potential, because you believe that he can be a diamond in the rough, then I think that's the kind of guy you maybe spend a fifth-round pick on, maybe a fourth, depending on if you really, really like him and think that he might go earlier than is projected. But yeah, I mean, like there are only so many guys in this fourth, fifth, sixth-round range who I think you can bank on being impact contributors, you know, in year one or year two. So why not roll the dice if you have this, you know, war chest of picks to spend one on?
The safety to edge rusher pipeline is not particularly fruitful. Usually you see maybe safeties to linebackers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a safety going to, but sometimes it works. You never know. One guy that
Kyle
I
have, Hamilton.
Kyle Hamilton can play everything. He can do everything. The one guy that I have on maybe a day two, day three, I'm thinking maybe third round pick based on what I've seen, is Western Michigan's Marshawn Neyland. And I've heard him mentioned with the Ravens several times, just from outsiders' perspective, saying this would be a good fit. 4.5 sacks last year, former high school tight end. So the tight end to edge rusher pipeline could be alive and well. You know, the question is, how would he fit in this defense? And I think he's the kind of guy that he has enough athleticism that he would be able to stuff the run. He would be able to get to the quarterback. All right, Jonas, let's get to cornerback in this year's draft. Another position that the Ravens don't need a starter at this spot. They have their top two guys set. However, they could use some depth at cornerback, and the place to get it would probably be day three, maybe a third round pick, late day two in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cornerback room that looks good until maybe you scrutinize it a little bit closer, because Marlon Humphrey, I know there's a lot of unhappiness about how he played last year. And, you know, you hear him talk on his podcast. He never really got healthy last year. He had that preseason foot injury is one thing after another. I don't know. I guess it depends on just your outlook on life, whether that means that you're feeling good that was an aberration, just a weird year where he never got healthy, or maybe it's a little bit of a warning sign that you know, you play football long enough, these injuries tend to accrue, and maybe this is just the kind of beginning of a long downslope in the way that Ronnie Stanley, one injury after another, led to a point where he was just not in the Ravens' long-term plans.
You hope not, because they have quite a lot of money tied up. Similar to Ronnie Stanley, they have quite a lot of money tied up to Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah, yeah, and they're counting on him being the dude in that group. Brandon Stevens entering the last year of his deal. You know, we could we could fast forward a week at a time, and you know, he signed a long-term contract.
I'm just seeing that being a long-term. I mean, I just can't see with the breakout year he had last year. I can't see the Ravens letting him test free agency. I don't know though.
Arthur Mallette in the slot, just, you know, re-signed for a 2-year deal, I believe. But he turns 31 in July, wasn't really considered that, you know, high pedigree of a guy when they brought him in. Obviously, he turned out to be great, but
yeah,
who knows how much that was the Mike McDonald effect? Who knows how much of that was just him kind of rediscovering what he was earlier in his career? And then behind them, I mean, you know, Jalen Armour Davis, Pepe Williams, they were brought in to be the depth guys, maybe potential starters at some point, but they just haven't shown us much over the past 2 years. Injuries have been a big, big obstacle for them. Jalen Armour Davis dealing with concussions, Pepe Williams dealing with lower body stuff. So you're hopeful that they're able to turn the corner and get right. You know, from Instagram and social media, it seems like Jalen Armour Davis has been putting in a lot of work this offseason to get healthy. But if it's a brain injury, man, there's not a whole lot that you can do to kind of get over that. So I'm hopeful that both those guys are in good shape, because the Ravens need them for defense. They need them for special teams. They need them to just help them get past this injury bugaboo that always tends to find them.
And Eric DaCosta said of this year's draft class, when it comes to cornerbacks, if we have a chance to draft a corner this year, you can count on us doing that. I tend to buy that in the Liar's Lunch. I think that they probably will, but also best player available. If somebody's not there, they're not going to take them. Guys that are not going to get to the Ravens at 30, Terrion Arnold, Toledo's Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, probably not going to get there. And even if he does, I think it'd be an awesome test for Zach Orr to figure out how to work that guy in as maybe a slot corner, maybe a safety, as a, you know, hybrid type player there, but I don't think they're going there. And then skinny as a beanpole, Nate Wiggins from Clemson, that concerns the heck out of me. He's like 185 soaking wet. He is really skinny. Kool-Aid McKinstry, you mentioned him coming up in a mock draft. Do you like that pick? I've crunched the tape, Jonas, and you know that I'm never wrong on any of these prospects. I wasn't wild about what I saw from Kool-Aid.
What didn't you like about Kool-Aid?
He at Alabama, going up against some tough matchups, but he tended to get beat quite a lot.
Okay.
That's it.
That settles it. Moving on. No. I'm looking. I'm going to be doing a story on him for tomorrow, just digging into the tape. And
are you including my analysis?
Nope, I will not be, unless you're willing to be an anonymous NFL GM. First of all, we should say the most important fact: why Kool-Aid? Because as a baby, his smile reminded his grandma of because the Kool-Aid
loved,
man.
He loved pork chops.
He also got an NIL deal with Kool-Aid, so that's good for him. Hopefully, like with Caitlin Clark, he can continue to make that money in the NFL even after he leaves college. But you know, he is very, very close athletically to Marlon Humphrey, at least in terms of height, weight, arm length, like, you know, like a half inch, a pound off from Marlon. A lot of those, obviously, he's not the athlete that Marlon was. That was why Marlon went as high as he did. Probably didn't have, you know, that kind of projection, the trajectory that Marlon's career started to have at Alabama, where he was just a pretty quick success story there. I think the big concern with him is the deep speed. Mm-hmm. You know, he got beat a couple times at Alabama over the top. He maybe assuaged some of those concerns running a 4.47 40 at Alabama's pro day. Not elite, you know, but fine. And we've seen the Ravens, you know, turn really good defensive backs without great speed. You know, just think of all the safeties they've had who have not been especially burners. You know, Marcus Williams, I know we're talking about different position here, but Marcus Williams, not a speed guy. Chuck Clark, not a speed guy. Marlon Humphrey, or excuse me, Kyle Hamilton, not a speed guy, but they know how to play. They're versatile. They're smart. They get hands on balls. And I think that's the reputation that Kool-Aid has, is he is a fluid guy, scheme versatile, intelligent, can fit in just about any scheme. Probably won't make it out of the first round. So if the Ravens have him on the board at number 30 and there's not a whole lot of other options there, and they feel like we want to continue to bolster this wide receiver room, considering the talent that's in the AFC North, it might make sense. But also, you know, there probably will be an offensive lineman on the board at that point. So you got to, you know, value what matters more, most to you.
And in terms of day two, day three guys, name I keep hearing pop up is Rutgers' Max Melton.
Yep.
He feels like he is flying up draft boards. Is there one guy you would stake your claim to?
Looking at cornerback tape is so boring. I really just
if he's good, he's not getting thrown at. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who I think probably won't make it to the Ravens in that round two range because they are picking as late as they are. Number 62 is Mikey Sainristil out of Michigan. Just really flashed in that national championship game, but his ball production last year was great. Six picks, returned two of them for touchdowns. He's close with Isaiah Likely. They played at the same high school. They actually went on IG Live together the other day, just, you know, randomly. But he is the kind of prototypical slot corner. So, you know, maybe if he was as productive as he was last year on the outside, we'd probably be talking about a first round pick. But we know just how important slot cornerbacks are to the NFL nowadays, with everyone, you know, running these three wide receiver sets. But he is special teams experience, good run defender. His nickname growing up was Sweetness. I don't think you can overlook that. Like I said, probably won't be available at 62. He might be, you know, it's hard to see him making it out of the 40s undrafted just because of how well he did last year and how well he profiles athletically and as a just intangible guy. But he's a guy who, if he falls to the Ravens or maybe they move around the board in some creative way, I think he would make a lot of sense for them.
All right. Another defensive back position, safety. We touched on, you know, how much the Ravens could use some depth at cornerback. I think the same goes for safety because they lost Geno Stone to a division rival this free agency. They have Marcus Williams. They have Kyle Hamilton entrenched there. Marcus Williams struggled with injuries last year, played through a torn pec for most of the season. They could use maybe a long-term lottery chip at safety to try to develop slowly behind both of those guys. Anybody in this class that you think would make sense for the Ravens? I don't think there's any chance there's any way the Ravens go with a safety in round one, but maybe later on in this draft.
Yeah, I think round three to round five is probably the sweet spot for them because you need, I think, to get a guy who frees up Kyle Hamilton to do Kyle Hamilton things. You know, we expect this defense not to change a whole lot structurally in making that transition from Mike McDonald to Zach Orr. So we're going to see Kyle Hamilton in the box. We're going to see him in the slot. We're going to see him lining up, you know, at edge rusher at certain spots. And that means that you need another safety back there to pair with Marcus Williams. Maybe you need two because you are still maybe concerned about Marcus Williams' just durability and being the, you know, a guy who could be an every down guy. So I think it would make sense for the Ravens to find a guy that they like who can play that deep safety role, but probably more likely play that box safety role, you know, be the Geno Stone type. You don't have to have great range. Right. Just come in, cover tight ends, you know, take down running backs. Yeah, come downhill. Geno, for as wonderful a player as he was last year, wasn't that great of a tackler. I think that's the spot where the Ravens could maybe look to focus on skill-wise. You know, you think of the kind of troubles that Geno had tackling running backs, the trouble he had tackling David Njoku in that loss in Baltimore against Cleveland.
Right.
You know, I got a guy who I mocked to the Ravens in the fourth or fifth round, I think, Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. You know, again, he's not going to be a day one pick, not going to be a day two pick because he just doesn't have these athletic traits that make him special. But he was super productive at Wake Forest, played on special teams, lined up everywhere. I think you want that versatility, or at least someone who could be versatile in the system so that you could be the kind of defense that changes the picture pre-snap to post-snap and just continues to befuddle quarterbacks the way the Ravens did last year.
All right, inside linebacker, we know they have Roquan Smith as their $100 million man there. Trenton Simpson, from all accounts, is going to be their starting starting inside linebacker next to him. And Eric DaCosta said in his Liar's Luncheon that he thinks Trenton Simpson is as good as any inside linebacker in this year's draft. And he was a third-round pick last year. Tells you a lot about what they think of him internally, but it also says a lot about this draft in terms of inside linebackers. I don't think we're going to see, maybe we'll see one inside linebacker taken on day one. Probably not, though. There are a couple guys, though, that maybe get to second, third, fourth round that the Ravens will take a shot on. You think of Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M, Junior Colson from Michigan.
Wilson, NC State.
Yeah. Do you think that, who has also had injury concerns, I believe. Yeah. So maybe he falls. Do you think the Ravens, any chance the Ravens take a guy on day two, or do you think they really just save that for the last couple days?
I think it would have to be like a glaring case of best player available. Like maybe they have Junior Colson rated as the number 40 player on the board. Again, a Michigan guy, so he has that experience with the system. He's young, so he's projectable. And it's the end of the third round. There's no one that they really like as much as him. And they take him and they say, hey,
right,
you're going to compete with Trenton Simpson for this job. Wouldn't be great roster building. But again, you know, that's how the Ravens do business. And I just think at this point, if you believe in Roquan Smith, as you should, and you believe in Trenton Simpson, as it seems the Ravens do, you're just looking for guys who can build out that depth. I think Malik Harrison is a great, great depth piece. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, he can play on the outside, can play on the inside, can play special teams. I don't think there's anyone in the draft who could deliver the kind of impact in 2024 that Malik Harrison probably will to the Ravens. But you know, with special teams importance being emphasized by these rule changes, I think you need to fill out that side of the ball. You need to get guys who are athletic enough to come in day one, you know, maybe day 100, and be contributors to special teams, get up and down on punt return, kick return, just, you know, be the kind of guys that John Harbaugh really likes to have in this building, because they're low maintenance. They go out there, do their job, give this team an edge on special teams. Don't really make a lot of money in the long term because they're not playing a lot of defense, but fundamental, I think, to the Ravens' success over the past decade.
And maybe give them an edger in.
Yeah.
Especially. Defensive line. This is a position that really the Ravens, if they were to go through this entire draft and not draft anybody on defensive line, unless it's like a defensive end who can rush the passer and they feel like he can fit their scheme, I feel like they would be okay with at that point. They are pretty deep when it comes to the defensive line right now. They obviously extend Justin Madubuike. He is expected to be in the middle of that defensive line for quite a while. They have Brent Urban, Travis Jones, Michael Pierce, who they also extended right before the end of the season. Maybe some day three guys. They like to take defensive linemen and guys who can fit their scheme. Guys who are not going to make it to them, Texas's Byron Murphy. The question is, Illinois's Johnny Newton, would he slip all the way to 30? And if he did, would he be worth a first round pick?
I think he might be. I mean, you know, you Google Johnny Newton or Jerzon Newton, his given name. There are some people who feel like he's one of the best defensive players in this draft. I mean, the production speaks for itself. At Illinois, he led FBS interior defensive linemen with 103 quarterback pressures over the past 2 years. That is the most in that span, according to PFF. So he has that production. He's athletic. He's actually, surprisingly, a former Maryland commit. I think that what happened there was Mike Loxley didn't check in on him as much as he should have. And he flipped his commitment to Illinois.
That's a miss.
Right before signing day. So sorry about that, Lox, just because he also had Chop Robinson. So two first round guys that maybe could have helped the Terps be more than a middle of the Big Ten team.
You're not bitter, I can tell.
But, you know, there are scenarios where maybe he falls because maybe he gets past a certain point in the mid, you know, in the teens or the early 20s, and the teams that are drafting there already have pretty good defensive linemen, or they've, you know, have concerns about him for size concerns or whatever. And maybe he falls to the Ravens at 30. You know, I think you do enough PFF mock draft simulations, and there are some really interesting guys there on the board at number 30. And Johnny Newton has been one of them. I don't think he's going to make it. I think it's probably like a 5 or 10% chance that he falls to 30, but he's another guy, like with Chop Robinson, where maybe it's him versus Kingsley Suamatia versus Jordan Morgan versus Tyler Guyton, and you really have a tough decision to make because, yes, you already have just Madubuike. This is another three tech. You only have so many spots on that defensive line just geometrically to fit a guy like that. But if it's best player available and you believe in your staff and their ability to find answers for too much talent, I think that's the kind of problem that you'd like to have.
The Ravens have obviously built a stable franchise by taking best player available. But here's the thing. You need two offensive tackles in 2025, most likely. Let's be honest. And that's an incredibly important position. I just think you're going to tend to lean on the offensive line if you have a chance to.
Yep.
Florida State's Braden Fisk is another guy. Clemson's Rook is, how are we going to pronounce this? Are you going to give it a try?
No,
I'm not going to. I'm going to go.
Rook Oro-ro-ro.
Your boat.
What I heard it that sounds like is like a dog licking peanut butter, like rook.
Wow. That's who would ever think of that?
Not me.
Some linguists. All right. Ohio State's Michael Hall Jr., Michigan's Chris Jenkins, who's the son of Chris Jenkins. There's another guy who might be falling down draft boards, Tavondre Sweat from Texas, because 2 weeks before the draft, he gets a DUI. And there were already some red flags on him coming into this process, and it seems like none of those questions have really been answered here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the maybe something we'll address next week is just, are the Ravens in a spot, considering everything that happened with Zay Flowers? And again, nothing's happened with Zay Flowers. We should be careful to point that out. Will they take any kind of gambles on guys at positions of need? Obviously, defensive line, not a position of need, but there is a possibility where maybe the Ravens have ignored wide receiver on day one. They've ignored wide receiver on day two, and they are there in the fourth round. And Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, a guy with a bit of a reputation for not being the best dude in the locker room, not the most accommodating host to fans storming on the field and potentially smacking fans as they celebrate an Alabama loss. Would they be interested in someone like him? You know, PFF, I think, has him as a second round talent, and he's been productive at Alabama. But do the Ravens, are they in a spot now in their championship window where they want to take a risk, where they want to take a gamble on a guy who might not be the best locker room fit, because you believe in this culture, you believe in this locker room, you believe in the leadership of guys like Roquan Smith, Tyler Linderbaum, Lamar Jackson, Derek Henry, where they can get this guy where he's not an issue, and you believe that you're going to win enough where, you know, any discontent does not really crop up. So I still think the Ravens probably lean in the direction of, we like guys who know their place and who aren't going to be just total headaches for our coaching staff. But it is interesting because there are some guys who could fall in this draft and maybe present some pretty good value for the Ravens.
Yeah. Well, we have a little more than a week to figure out and to determine who the Ravens might draft in the 2024 NFL draft. And next week on the Banner Ravens podcast, we will have a mock draft, a 7-round mock draft of the Baltimore Ravens.
Should we do seven?
Let's do seven. Why not?
Who's your favorite 7th-round wide receiver prospect?
We'll see who's on the board at 7.
You're not going to give away your big board?
I'm not going to give away my big board. Are you kidding me? I'm working on it.
This is going to be collaborative, by the way. we can't each do a 7th-round mock draft.
Then I'll take over. All right. You think Eric DaCosta knows all the 7th-round guys right now?
I think he does.
I think he probably does. But, you know, maybe he knows them a little bit less than some other guys in that front office. That'll be my role, Jonas. Let me take.
You're just going to pick the guy with the cool name?
Yes, exactly. I'm going to say that guy. We will have a mock draft for you coming next week, so please tune into that. And on draft night, we will have a live draft show for the Ravens number 30 overall pick. Let's hope that they just don't trade out of the first round and make our live show for naught. We'll see, but we will have a live show for you. So stay tuned for that. Please give us a like, a thumbs up, a subscribe, share this with all your friends. Anywhere that you get your podcast, you can get the Banner Ravens podcast. At Jonas_Schaefer is his Twitter handle. I'm at Paul Mancano. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.